Psalm number 84 this morning, and I want to begin reading in verse number 9. I'm going to be preaching from these last four verses. The psalmist here, and I believe David wrote this psalm. It doesn't bear his title, it doesn't bear his name, but I certainly believe that David is the author of this psalm. And it said in verse number 9, "Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Let's pray this morning. And I don't know if I mentioned Miss Sandy Woodard. Did I mention her in the prayers? I did. Okay. She's at home sick. We'll never pray for her. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful this morning for the good Sunday school hour that we've enjoyed, the good Word of God that we heard. Thank you for the singing this morning, the time that we have to worship and praise you in song. We're certainly grateful for our visitors this morning coming in, Lord. I pray that you'd bless them and help them make this a good time in God's house for them. I do ask you, Lord, this morning to touch your preacher. I need your power. I need your divine help. I pray you'll provide liberty in the house of God this morning. I need that old-time fashioned filling of the Spirit of God and that touch of the Holy Ghost upon me this morning to preach. I pray you'll grant liberty and give me the power and divine help that I need. Lord, open up our hearts to thy word today and give us grace to receive it with all readiness of mind. May precious souls be saved and come to Christ. And Lord, may your name be magnified and your people stirred in their hearts for revival. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Psalm 84, I started Sun and Shield Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, out of that verse of Scripture. And Sun and Shield Baptist Church is still there in operation today in Marana, Arizona. That's our text verse. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now, if you remember, I preached a message out of the first four verses of this chapter, and then preached down through verse 8 the second time I preached through it. And as I was studying and getting ready for today, I saw something there in this that I really never had occurred to me before in my studies of Psalm number 84. As we look at verses 1 through 4, I believe that we see there the psalmist as he describes the beauties of the tabernacles of the Lord. He describes the beauties of the house of God. He said how amiable, how beautiful, how lovely are the tabernacles of the Lord. And so he's viewing that. And really we might say that's his vision of the house of God and what the house of God is to him and his life. And I wonder how many of us today really have a vision of what God can do. And I'm not talking about eating sauerkraut and wieners and all that stuff. I'm talking about having a desire, a dream in our heart and our mind what God's house is supposed to be like. How beautiful is the house of the Lord? Now, I'll tell you, the beauty is not on the outside. Like the tabernacle, all it was badger skins on the outside. But the beauty was on the inside. That's where all of the furnishings was. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's where the table of showbread and the candlestick. That's where all the gold and all the silver was on the inside of that tabernacle. Now, I want to say to you, the beauty of the house of God is getting saved and letting God open up your eyes to the beauty of the life, of the Christian life, and the beauty of being in the Lord's house. Now, I won't say people ought to come to the church. People ought to come to God's house. I tell you, it was at God's house where I heard the preaching of the gospel. It was at God's house where I got saved by the grace of God. It was at God's house where some old preacher, rared back, leather lung preacher, and preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, that opened my blinded eyes, and I was marvelously and gloriously saved by the grace of God. And so in them first few verses, he is viewing the Lord's house as it sets maybe afar off from him. But when you come to the next section there, verses, I think, number 5 through 8, he looks at the journey toward the house of God. And I might use this as he's viewing heaven, really, in the first few verses, the beauties and the glories of heaven itself, how amiable, how beautiful heaven really is. We've never seen heaven, but I'm telling you, it's going to be a glorious place. I know one thing, it's got a street of gold up there. Hallelujah. It's got gates of pearl. And it's got walls of jasper. It's going to be a lovely place for the people of God when we get there. And those verses, he is viewing heaven afar off. But in the next section there, he begins to look at the journey of the child of God on his way to heaven. And he talks about passing through the valley of Baca, that God maketh it a well and pools. He fills the pools with rain. And certainly our journey toward heaven is a journey that will carry us through many valleys. It'll carry us through many calamities of life, troubles of life. I'll tell you, life is just one sorrow and one grief right after another. It's one broken spirit and broken heart right after another. It's one disappointment right after another. One discouragement right after another. But I'm glad, thank God, that when we walk through that valley of Baca, that valley of discouragement, despondency, and despair, the Bible said that God would make that valley a well for us. Thank be unto God. And He would fill the pools with water. So God supplies our need as we travel along this journey that's going to carry us to heaven. I said one last week that this life, a Christian life, is like being on the mountain today and in the valley tomorrow. We may be having a great time today and a tragedy come in our life that'll carry us to the depths on tomorrow. And so life is full of grief and life is full of sorrow. But I'm glad those of us that are saved by the grace of God, that there is a joy unspeakable and full of glory within our hearts that the devil cannot rob us from. We might run into trials and tribulations and troubles in this life, but like Job of old, by the grace of God, we're going to make it. I know a lot of Baptists got the idea today they're not going to make it. Their life things are just too terrible. The economy's bad and the money situation's bad. I'll tell you, the money situation's not bad in heaven. Heaven's economy's not bad. God's not broke. God's still on the throne. God still provides for His people. God still blesses His people and God still takes care of His people. And He will today. He'll take care of His young ones today. And then those last verses that I want to preach from this morning really is a picture of what the psalmist found when he got to heaven, what he saw in the Lord. There's no doubt he had to see the Lord there. For he said, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. But I want to look at verse number 9. He said in verse 9, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of Thine anointed. I believe David wrote this psalm, and David was God's anointed. He said in one place that Thou shalt anoint me with fresh oil. And so he said, look upon the face of Thine anointed. I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thing when God looks upon His people. God's smile will drive our sorrows far away. God looks upon us. It is a sign of God's favor and grace for us. Thank God for favor and grace. If it wasn't for grace, I'd be on my way to hell. Grace is the unmerited love of God, the undeserving love of God. Every one of us here deserves to be in hell this morning, but I'm glad that by the grace of God, God loved us enough to send His Son into the world and give His life and shed His blood, a ransom for our sin, that we might be saved, that we might be pardoned, that we might be cleansed from our sin and enjoy all the blessings. blessings of heaven. So he said to look upon the face of thine anointed. Now, there's a whole lot of people today that I've met that are satisfied with just religious formalities. I mean, they can come to church, sing three songs, and have a special like we did today, take up an offering, and the preacher preach a few words and go to the house, and they feel like they've been in the house of God, and that satisfies them. But I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, that'll not really satisfy the child of God. Well, the child of God must be occupied with Christ Himself. It is the knowledge of His person that gives us strength and joy in our soul. Boy, the more I learn about God, I'm telling you, it really fills my heart with joy. I've been plowing through this old book now for about 27, 28 years, really 28 years, preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And the more I read it and the more I learn about the Lord, the more it fills my heart with joy. I've found that God is a loving God. Aren't you glad that God loves old sinners? He didn't come to call righteous to repentance, but He come to call sinners to repentance. I read in the Bible where there was a sinner man by the name of Zacchaeus, and he knew God was passing by that way. He was a man of little stature, so he climbed up in a sycamore tree. And when Jesus came to that sycamore tree and looked up, he said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I must abide at thy house today." But and I'm glad still that God passes by every now and then. And when He passes by, He's got a heart full of love and a handful of grace on purpose that sinners might be saved and that sinners might be pardoned and enjoy the blessings of God. I'm certainly thankful. And Christ ought to be our life. It ought to be Him. So many folks, their life is wrapped up in how much money they can make, what they can accomplish in this life for themselves. But a child of God cannot be satisfied with those formalities. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not satisfied coming to church and singing two or three songs and going to the house. I like it when Jesus comes in and moves our heart into a place of worship and praise and adoration for Him, where we can praise Him and worship God in spirit and in truth. We've raised up a generation of people today that don't know anything about the working of the Holy Ghost and the moving of God in the house of God. Hey, we've forgotten how amiable are thy tabernacles. This is not our house. This is God's house. Amen. That's right. And this is where God has chosen to meet with His people. Amen. And we ought to be happy coming here without His divine presence being in our place in the house of God. We need to be occupied, amen, with the Lord Jesus Himself. That's right. Man who possesses only religion will rest on the ability of his own mind, and he trusts in himself. Religion will make you trust in yourself and rest in your own abilities. But I'm glad that true salvation, deliverance from sin, will cause us to trust the Lord Jesus and to lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Just a glimpse, hey, just a glimpse, even a glimpse at the love of God is better spent than ages in the presence, in the pleasures of sin. For he said, "One day in thy courts is better than 10,000 in verse number 10. And so just a glimpse of the love of God is better than ages spent in the pleasures of sin. Hey, that's right. That's right. Folks want to spend, I'd rather have one little glimpse of the Lord Jesus than to live forever in the pleasures of sin. And there is pleasures in sin for a season. But buddy, I'm going to tell you, they won't last long. I remember when I was out in the world, I was a sinner just like you were before you got saved. And I remember how how I thought that I was really having a great time. I mean, cruising and drinking and all that mess. I thought I was really having a great time in life. But I'm going to tell you what, when Jesus passed by that Sunday morning on September the 13th, 1970, I found out, praise God, that there was more joy in the house of God seeing just one glimpse of the face of the Son of God than there was in an eternity of pleasures in this world. Somebody say amen right there. I'm glad this morning God loved me enough to pass by where I was and lift me out of the miry clay and save me by the grace of God. Now I'm telling you, that world and the pleasures out there doesn't have anything to offer me anymore. Amen. I've got a glimpse of the beauties of the tabernacles of the Lord and the house of God, and that's what stirs me. Amen. I used to listen to that old country music like some of you still listen to. And that old rockabilly, hillbilly stuff, like some of you probably still listen to. And it done nothing. And boy, I thought I was having a time. But I'm going to tell you, I like Amazing Grace today. I like Saved by the Blood and Victory in Jesus. I like to hear the songs of Zion sang today. Amen. What the problem is, some of y'all got down to Babylon, backsliding on God, and hang your hearts on the willows, and you've lost your song down in Babylon. Praise God, I've not lost my song. God gave me a song in my heart, and I ain't lost it. I've not lost my joy. I've not lost my hope. I've not lost the glory of God. I'm still traveling on this journey through the valley on my way to the tabernacles of God to behold the beauty of the Lord as He sits upon the throne of His glory, ruling and reigning over God's people. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Verse number 10 said, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. Amen. Just the least look that a man has of God, and the least good word that a man hears from the Lord, and the least love letter and love token for his portion is better than 10,000 anywhere else. Amen. He said one day. Can you get a hold of that? One day in thy court is better than a thousand. One day in the house of God is better than a thousand days out there. And I could magnify that. One day in the house of God is better than 10 million days out there. Somebody say amen right there. That's what the psalmist is saying. You know why I can say that? He got a glimpse of the glory of God. He has seen and recognized the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he said, I'd rather spend one day in the courts of the Lord than I would a thousand out yonder in the world. Amen. That's right. Thanks be unto our God. Y'all help me a little bit now. Now, he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper, there in verse 10, in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Now, where there's a doorkeeper, there's got to be a door. Where there's a doorkeeper, there's got to be a door. Jesus said in John 10:9, He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And here this man says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Now, somebody said, now, preacher, a doorkeeper is not much. I look back there every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Old brother Cater's back there locking that door. We do that after everybody gets in here. We're trying to take real precautions here at the church so people not get hurt. You know, that's happening all over the country today. And brother Cater goes back there and he opens that door. And somebody says, well, that's not much of a job to have in the house of God. That's not much of a job. I mean, he's not got the preaching job, and he doesn't lead the singing. All he does is go back there and open and close the door. Hey, that's a good place to be. That's a good place to be because the Bible said, Jesus said, I am the door. Now, I'm going to tell you, hey, amen, that's right. And so if Jesus is the door, then that means that He's real close to the Lord Jesus when He's back there. I'm glad, thank God, we can draw nigh unto God and be close unto our Lord. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. He's the door. We're close to Him back there being by that door. Amen. And then the Bible said that they put the blood on the doorpost and the lintels of the house. We're not only close to Jesus back there by that door, but we're covered by the blood back there by that door. Hallelujah to God. That's right. Thank God. And then, as we stand at the door and greet the people, we can compel sinners to come into the house of God that God's house might be full. So that door and that doorkeeper. I want to say three things very quickly about that door. I want to say that the door is a door of hope. A door of hope. When a sinner walks through that door, lost and undone without Christ, he is entered in through a door of hope. When he comes into the house of God, there's a hope of him leaving that place saved for all time and eternity. I don't think people are really aware today of what it means to be saved, to what it means to be born again, to what it means to be a child of God. I think we've lost that vision of what it means. And I know the world out there don't understand what it means. They're loving their sin and living in their sin, and they're not too concerned about their soul. But I'm going to tell you, like the days it was in Noah, that's the way it's going to be in the coming of the Son of Man. People weren't concerned about their soul then. Noah went to building that ark and preached to the people it was going to rain, the fountains of the deep was going to break up, and they laughed at him. But I'm going to tell you, when he entered into that ark and God shut the door and the rain began to fall, the laughter left them. Amen. When they saw the judgment and the wrath of God, the laughter left them. And people don't believe preachers today when they tell them that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. I'm telling you, there is coming a day of judgment upon this world when God is going to judge this world one more time, and those unbelievers and those that have been disobedient to the gospel of Christ are going to be cast into hell. Somebody said, I don't believe God would put anybody into hell. Fella asked me one time, said, what I have to do to go to hell? I said, absolutely nothing. You're lost and you're going to hell if you're not saved. You don't have to do nothing to go to hell. I'm telling you, there is a hell coming for every unrepentant man, woman, boy, and girl that fails to come to that mercy seat Brother Gray was preaching about and is born again by the grace of God. People don't believe that, but I'm telling you, I do. Amen. Preachers don't preach on hell anymore. They're afraid they'll frighten people. It ain't going to frighten people. You can't scare people into getting saved. I'm going to tell you what it takes to get a sinner saved. The preaching of the gospel and the power of the Holy Ghost taking that gospel and opening up the heart of that sinner where they can believe the gospel and come to Christ and be saved. Amen. It is a supernatural work of the Holy Ghost of God in a man or a woman's heart that will bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when a sinner comes through that door of the house of God, I'm glad there is hope, hallelujah, of him being saved by the grace of God and escaping the damnation and the torments of hell. Amen. That's right. There's not many preachers today that want to preach on hell. In fact, there ain't too many preachers today that want to preach on anything. They're afraid they'll offend people, make people mad. They don't want to preach on sin, boozing, carousing, drinking, cussing, gambling, stealing. Amen. Playing the lottery, visiting casino, Aztar, come on in the house, and all that other mess. They don't want to preach against that. Chewing tobacco. Had a preacher tell me the other day, teenagers come into his church with snuff in their mouth. They wouldn't come in this church. They might come in, but the snuff, and they could stay, but the snuff would have to go out. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Preachers today ain't going to preach against sin, the sins of the day. And they're not going to preach on hell. They don't want to offend nobody. I had a woman who called me down once and said, you're crazy. Said, there's nobody going to hell. Said, God loves people. God's not going to send anybody to hell. And I said, ma'am, you need to read your Bible. Amen. I said, Luke 16 said there was a certain rich man that
clothed in linen, fine linen, purple and fine linen, heard sumptuously every day. And there was a beggar by the name of Lazarus laid at his door full of sores, and moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And the Bible said, and the rich man died and lived and was buried and lift up his eyes in hell, and Lazarus died and went to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man lift up his eyes and saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom and wanted one drop of water to cool his tongue, because he said, I am tormented in this flame. Oh yes, buddy, there is a hell. There is a hell. I'm telling you, there is a hell. God said, if your eye offended, pluck it out, be better enter into life maimed than to die and go to hell. Oh! Come on in the house now. I'm talking about the hope of coming through that door. Coming through that door. And I'll get to that sun and shield in a little bit. But I'm trying to follow God. There is a hope. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you, there's help coming through that door. Thank God, I'm glad I got my help at the house of God. I've been helped. If you'd have known my life back in 1970, when I just got back from Vietnam, and I'm telling you, there's still things about Nam that trouble my mind, and things from time to time break my heart, and I think on them more than what I ought to think on them. And they sometimes the thoughts get unbearable. I'm just being honest with you. But when I came back, I was so warped in my mind that I cared about nobody. Didn't have any concern for life at all, mine or anybody else's. I have no care about my family whatsoever, no responsibility about me whatsoever. But on that Sunday morning when old Bob Steckert preached the gospel son, and God saved me by His marvelous grace, I'm telling you, some things begin to change in my life. Somebody say amen right there. That's right. I care nothing about life. Amen. But now I'm a preacher of the gospel, and I'm trying to rescue people that they might live a life that is pleasing to God. Amen. Old brother Ron Cochran, that pastored here before out here years ago, come here and preached one morning. He's a black chalk artist. He drew a black chalk picture over there and preached a gospel message as he was drawing it. When they turned on that one light, the drawing that he did magnified the message that he preached. Amen. When he was preaching, he said, I was in Vietnam. He said, I was a helicopter door gunner. And he said, I didn't know it, but said God was training me for the ministry. He said, I went out and said I was in search and rescue. And I thought, praise God, when I was over there, God was training me too. I was in search and destroy. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah. Now we laugh about that, but I'm going to tell you what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to preach the gospel that will destroy the sin in your life and fill your life full of grace and your life full of joy and your life full of hope and your life full of health. It will give you some help in the house of God. I'm telling you, I've never seen a generation of people that need help like the generation of people that we're living in. They have no thought for their soul, no thought for eternity, and they live like they're going to live forever. But I'm telling you, it's appointed unto man once to die, and they're going to die someday. And the Bible said, and after this there comes judgment, and buddy, it's coming. Amen. There are so many people. Hey, I mean, so many people. I was down at the barber shop just the other day. I got a haircut, thank God. And they brought some little old boy in there, set him up in the barber's chair. And the barber asked his daddy, said, his mama said, how do you want his hair cut? She said, I don't care. Ask him. He's older. He's about 3 or 4 years old. He said, I want it zipped this way and zipped that way and this way and that way. Barbara looked at his mama. She said, let him do whatever how he wants to do it. I'm going to tell you, people need help. Amen. People don't know how to raise their children. Amen. My God, I have got a burden in my heart for the children of our day. Amen. There's mommies and daddies out there that need to get in the house of God. Amen. And find some hope and find some help for their family. Find some help for their children, because I'm telling you right now, a child will not always be a child. Oh, I believe little children are under the watch care of God until they grow to an age, and I don't know what that age of accountability is, but I'm telling you, if you don't get them under the gospel while they're young and get them in the house of God, I'm telling you, when they grow old, they're going to get out in the world and I'm telling you, there's a chance they'll never be saved by the grace of God. Amen. When little old Samuel was just a little boy, when he got weaned, his mama took him down to the house of God and said, there he is. Let him raise him up in the house of God. And I'm going to tell you, Samuel was a real prophet of God, boys. Raised around the house of God. And boy, I'm going to tell you what's amazing about it. He was raised around Eli, and Eli let his boys lay with the women at the door. Hophni and Phinehas were wickeder than the devil, and yet Samuel turned out all right.
Amen.
I believe he had a praying mama that got God on that little boy. What have we got any praying mamas in here that will get God on your little children, boys and girls, where they can be saved by the marvelous grace of God? Come on in the house. Amen. He said, for the Lord God is the sun and shield, thank God. And the Lord will give grace and glory. And no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Woo! I'm about ready to get happier than a hound dog chasing a rabbit. Thank God. Amen. I'm telling you, yes, sir, I'm about to get happy up here. I know what it's like to be under the grace of God, covered by the blood, born again, bought by the blood, and a sign, seal, delivered, and on my way to glory. Somebody say amen. That's right. Amen. That's right. That's a door of hope and a door of help. You find some help. I'll tell you something else, a door of holiness. Ain't many people that want to live holy. Amen. That's right. Summertime and women are already. It's not really even got summer and they're already about three-quarter naked.
Amen.
These women, they always want to wear tops that reveal about everything they got.
Amen.
Or put a tattoo somewhere on their body. And they always wear clothes that show that tattoo.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. There's always somebody sitting around that'll look at it. Amen. That's right. I'm talking about holiness. I'm talking about living a holy life for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. And He said, without holiness, no man shall see God. I'm just telling you that the Bible said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. No man. Amen to God. Somebody said, do you have any holiness? Not of my own, but I'm glad, thank God. He can make you holy. Woo! Amen. You know what holy is? I mean, come on, will you listen to me just for a minute? I think people think being holy is doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that. Holiness is no more than being sanctified. And you know what sanctifies you? When a sinner is saved by the grace of God, God sanctifies you. That is, God cleanses you and God sets you apart for His work in the ministry. That is holiness. God sanctifying you. Amen. Set apart for the work of God. You don't get holy by singing in the choir. You don't make yourself holy by taking up the offering or playing the piano or singing special music. No man or no woman can make themselves holy. I don't care what to do. I'll say this kind of bravely, and it'll probably cripple some of you. But you can't make yourself holy by reading the Bible. God will make you holy. Amen. I'm going to tell you, when you come through that door, Jesus said, I am the door. It is a door of holiness. God will then make you holy. Amen. Holiness unto the Lord. And by the way, we're all priests and kings unto our God right now. Now I'm telling you, that priest in the Old Testament, he wore those priestly garments, and he had on those priestly garments holiness unto the Lord. Amen. That's right. And we ought to be holy vessels, meet for the Master's use. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those blessings, we're close to Christ at the door, and we're covered with the blood at the door, and we can compel them to come in at the door. He said, for the Lord God, now get this, here's the finally got to what I wanted to say this morning. For the Lord God is a sun and shield.
Amen.
The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly.
Amen.
Would anybody mind if I just run my head through a wall right there? If I took three or four laps around the building, would it bother you? It didn't say He might be a sun and shield.
The Lord God is the sun and shield. Didn't say He might give grace and glory. He will give grace and glory. Didn't say He might give good things. He said He will. He will give good things to those that walk uprightly. Thanks be unto our God. Amen. That's right. As a son, He gives us, He provides happy days. And a shield protects us from dangerous ones. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's right. As a son, He gives us happy days. How many of y'all come to church this morning happy? Praise God, I'm glad I didn't have to get drunk to get happy. Now, I'm not drunk on booze, but thank God I'm about three quarters drunk on the Holy Ghost. He said, drink no longer. Why? No, I got it mixed up. He said, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Amen. Not be filled with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Now I'm going to tell you what, you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you get happy, ladies and gentlemen. God help, I never seen so many sad people in all my life. Some of y'all come in here this morning, I believe you got carpet burns on your lower lips. Your lower lip was dragging the ground when you come in. Amen. Some of you look like you've been eating on sawbriars like a Missouri mule. Praise God, I'm happy today. Thank God. That's right. That's right. The sun, the Lord God being a sun, has sun, but let His sunlight shine into my soul and has made me happy by the grace of God. And He's given me a shield, ladies and gentlemen, that on those dangerous days, He protects us by that shield, amen, that He provides for us. Now, I'm going to tell you, been a few times He had protected me, I'd have been in a bad way. Miss Hall and I come out of the driveway the other day, coming down here to the church. It might have been last Sunday. I don't know. It might have been Wednesday night. And I was remarking to her how somebody had hit my mailbox. I went to my mailbox the other day, got the mail out, come to the church, and went back, and somebody had plowed. That's the fourth time my mailbox had been torn up. And I pulled out of the driveway, and I was remarking to her how somebody tore up my mailbox. And I just kind of, and I was looking at it, and I looked up, and the new place across the street, one more thing, what's the name of it? The garden spot over there, nursery, whatever it is. Across the street, Blue Boys, they got up a mailbox, and son, I'm telling you what, I was headed right toward his mailbox. I cut the car that way, and there's another car coming. I cut it back that way, and Miss Hall said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm trying to keep him running over that man's mailbox and killing that other man." She said, "I'm more concerned about you killing me." And I'm going to tell you, the Lord had me to look at that thing just in the nick of time. I was going to the doctor a few weeks ago in that pickup truck. Down at the end of the park, way down at Hoptown, where it goes off this way, and you turn back left and go down 41. I was breezing down through there, come around off the parkway and around that curve down to that traffic light. And I put on the brakes on my truck, and I know, I want you to know, I don't know what was going on. Next thing I knowed, I looked up and I was right on the back end of an 18-wheeler, boy. I cut her to the right real hard and went up about 6 feet up beside of him. My heart was just up there going down. I just eased it in reverse and looked, make sure there wasn't nobody there, and backed up. I said, "Thank you, Lord. I'm glad you're a son and a shield. Praise God. I'm glad you, amen. I'm glad on those dangerous days that God protects His people. He's got a hedge about them. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about those that love Him." Amen. Amen. We've got a sun above and a shield around. What a blessing. We've got a sun to light the way and a shield to ward off its peril. I'm glad that as I travel through this journey, sun lights my way. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah. The Word has been a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. And it lightens my way all the way through. Hallelujah to God. And a shield to ward off the perils. I'm going to tell you, the devil would like to drag every one of you today into hell. He'd like to kill you today before the day's out. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, he would. I'm telling you, he would. Amen. So the sun lights away and the shield wards off the perils. He gives us a sun to show us our sinfulness. But as a shield, He gives us power to oppose it and the assurance that we can conquer it.
Amen.
That sun shows us how sinful we are. Now, I know some folks have just about got pin feathers growing out on them. They don't think they have any sin in their life. They don't ever commit any sin. They're already reached perfection and sin has been eradicated in them. But I've not seen too many pin feathers on people. But I'm telling you, as I plow through this book and read through this book, the closer I get to God, that sun shines on me, and the more sinful I see myself. And the greater need I see that I have of the Lord. Amen. That's right. But that shield of God, that sun shows me my sinfulness. But that shield gives me the power to overcome and to conquer that sin in my life. Somebody say amen right there. As the sun, God shows me myself. And as a shield, God shows me Himself.
Amen.
That's right. The sun shows me what I am. Now, I know somebody, a lot of people think they're worth something. I had a fellow at one time, a fellow preaching. He said, I'd like to buy people for what they think they're worth. I'd like to buy them for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth.
Amen.
He went on to say, if they ground you up and sold you for fertilizer, you'd be worth 46 cents. That ain't worth a whole lot. And I'm glad God has shown me that in my life.
Amen.
It's not me and it's not you, folks. It's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That sun will show you what you really are if you're saved. It'll show you the nothingness in your life.
Amen.
And the worthlessness in your life. But I'm telling you, that shield will show you the Lord Jesus. And show you His mercy and grace and love. And make Him your all in all in your life. Amen. That's right. The sun discloses our own nothingness. And the shield, His divine sufficiency. I'm glad the Lord is sufficient today. I need nothing but Him. He's sufficient for my every need. And He's sufficient for your every need. The sun reveals my shame. And the fact that I deserve nothing but God's wrath.
Amen.
But the shield that I have is a title to immortality and an enduring inheritance in heaven.
Amen,
amen to God. For the Lord God is a sun and shield.
Yep.
That's right. I've got an enduring inheritance in heaven.
Amen.
And I'm immortal. And so are you if you're saved this morning. Somebody said, what do you mean you're immortal? We're going to die. Oh, no, if you're saved, you're not going to die. Or you've already passed from death unto life.
Amen.
To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
What a glorious thought.
Amen.
That shield shows me my immortality. I heard Bill Nolan say one time, I had to scratch my head and think about it. He said, we are immortal as long as God wants us to be.
Amen.
He said, there is nothing can take your life until God's ready for you to go.
Amen.
Nothing. And I got to studying about that and I said, amen. Especially after I read Psalm 31, the psalmist said, my times are in thy hands.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. I'm not going anywhere until God's done with me.
Amen.
Read the book of Job. Satan thought he could take Job out. God said, well, go ahead and take everything he's got, but don't touch him. And he did. Satan said, skin for skin, just let me touch his body, and he'll curse you to your face. And the Lord said, touch him.
Amen.
But don't touch his body, but don't touch him. You'll get a hold of that after a while.
Right.
He broke him out in boils and sores.
Amen.
Amen. But he couldn't touch Job.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, Job wasn't going. The devil tried his best and would have killed Job if he had had the power.
Amen.
But he couldn't do it because there was a shield about Job.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Now, I'm about done here. Somebody said, thank God. I want to confess to you this morning that I found myself to be my very worst enemy. Myself is my very worst enemy. I look at my, every day when I look in the mirror, I see my biggest enemy. If I can conquer myself and be what I ought to be for God, I've gained great things. Then he said, the Lord God will give grace and glory. Grace now and glory later. And no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now some people said, well, is that talking about riches and wealth and all this and all that, possessions in the world? No good thing. I don't know if those things are too good. Too much wealth will make people proud and arrogant. Too much possessions.
Amen.
Not good for us. But I'm going to tell you, there are some spiritual things that are good that God would not withhold from us. What about the peace of conscience? I don't see how some people go to bed tonight. I don't see how some people will pillow their head on a bed tonight. I read in the newspaper about where they reopened that case in Muhlenberg County, where that young lady was strangled, beaten. They said her neck was beaten and broken so bad that she choked to death on her own blood 22 years ago. They've indicted the police officer that studied the case in her murder and two other men. And her body was beaten and mutilated and thrown in the trunk of a car. You tell me this. How can a man pillow his head at night knowing he'd done such an atrocity to some young lady like that?
Amen.
I couldn't go to sleep at night. My conscience would trouble me so bad. But I'm glad that God's blood purifies our conscience. That's a good thing. When it's free from guilt. If I was, them men had to be living in guilt for 22 years of their life. They've had to live in conscience. That conscience saying, you're guilty of murder. You're guilty of murder. You're guilty of murder. But oh, when a sinner comes to Calvary, that guilt and that shame and that disgrace, God purifies the conscience and gives him a pure mind and a pure conscience. That's a good thing. God will not withhold that. May I say, he'll give you joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. I'm glad I've got a little bit of joy in my heart this morning. Amen, Brother Jerome. I'm glad I've got a little joy today. Thanks be unto God. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
Then he'll give you fruition of God's presence. The fullness of God's presence.
Amen.
So many folks don't realize what it means to have God's presence in your life. I remember years ago, old Brother Mays Jackson was preaching. He said, he asked his wife one day, he said, Dot, said, I need to run to the mailbox. You want to post office? You want to go with me? She said, I can't, Nay. He said, I'm too busy. Said, he asked his son, said, son, said, you want to run down to the post office with me? And he said, I can't, Dad, I'm too busy. And said, all at once, it sounded like, said, Jesus said, Mays, he said, I'll go to the post office with you. The old maid got real silly about it. He said he walked through the house door and opened up the door and said, Jesus, you go out first. Shut the door behind him, walked out this car, walked over to the passenger door and opened the door and said, get in, Jesus. Said he shut the door, walked around on the other side, opened the door and got in. Said he got down to the post office, got out of the car, walked around, opened the door and said, come on out, Jesus. Said he got out of the car. Said he happened to look and said, there's a black fella standing over there looking at him like this. And said he walked up to the door to post office, opened the door and said, go on in, Jesus. And he went in, said he shut the door behind him, went in, got his mail, said he'd come out, and he opened the door once again and said, come on out, Jesus. He shut the door behind him, went out to the car, opened up the passenger door, said, get in, Jesus. He shut the door, and by the time he looked at that black man, that black man said, man, what are you doing? He said, well, I've got Jesus in my life.
Amen.
And the guy knew him. He said, are you Brother Mays? He said, yes, I'm Mays Jackson. He said, oh, man, he said, you don't come down to the church and hear me preach? He said, I don't want to hear you preach, man. I said, you spooky. You spooky. But I'm telling you, in essence, God goes with us everywhere we go. He is present in our life. That's a good thing. Thank God when you travel down the highway, Jesus is with you. When you come to the house of God, Jesus is with you. When you go to work in the morning, fella, Jesus will be with you. When you're driving down the highway, Jesus will be with you.
Now, I'm going to tell you the best part about it. Look out here. When you get ready to die, Jesus will be with you. Hallelujah to God. That's a good thing. Then I want to say lastly, the light of His love, the light of His love, of His blessed face in heaven, is a good thing. When we all get to heaven, we're going to see Jesus.
Amen.
And we're going to be like Him because we're going to see Him as He is.
Amen.
Now somebody said, well, I don't sound too good to me. Boy, it does to me. I'm looking forward to seeing the Lord. Him that loved me and died for me. Said the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Let's all stand together.